Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. And it's always a blessing to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 2 and verse 2. And I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word this morning. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 2. Today's message is, Come, let us adore Him. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 1 as well. That'll make this come together better. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, what a glorious time this was when the shepherds and the wise men heard of the birth of Jesus, and their hearts were overflowed with the joy of the good news that had been brought to them. And we thank you, God, today that Jesus was born. And Father, in our lives today, as he was adored back then, so let us, as your people, adore Jesus now and seek him always. Father, let your message be spoken today through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own words or my flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. If you look up the word adore in the dictionary, it means to worship, to admire, to be extremely fond of. Now, I want you to put yourself, we're going to do a little role playing here. You're either a shepherd or a wise man. You've heard the prophecy spoken, and I told you last Sunday that from the time that Isaiah wrote it, it had been 740 years until the angel appeared to Mary and spoke the same prophecy to her, that she was going to be carrying the Son of God in her womb. And she must have been filled with a lot of wonder and probably disbelief, wondering, why would God choose me? But anyway, Jesus was born, and those that had heard of his birth, they were wanting to go right away to the place where he had been laid in the manger because they wanted to adore Jesus. So if you were in that position, how quickly would you have gone to go and see the Christ child that had been promised, that had been born? Well, if it had been me, I would have found the fastest and the quickest method, because back then, you didn't have a taxi cab, you didn't have an Uber driver, you didn't have a train, you didn't have no plane. Only thing you had was probably a donkey or a horse or a camel. And we know donkeys didn't move very fast and they were stubborn, but I probably would have took off in the quickest run that I could have got into, because I would have wanted to have gone and seen baby Jesus to worship and adore the one who was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yesterday, I heard the song and listened to it, Mary, Did You Know? And I got to thinking about this message, and I thought, how appropriate that I'm hearing this song the day before I preach this message. Now, this is the Lord, so I know this is the message God wanted me to preach today. So, Mary, did you know that your baby boy was going to walk on water? That your baby boy would save, you know, your sons and daughters? That he would walk on the water? That he would heal the blind, he would make the dumb to speak, he would make deaf ears to hear, blind eyes open, he would make the lame to walk, that he would put his life out there, that he would be betrayed, that he would be arrested and beaten and nailed to a cross. Mary, did she know all that? I don't know if she did or not, because in the moment she was adoring the baby that was given to her. Because you know how it is, moms. When you gave birth to your baby, You carried that child for 9 months. You went through a lot of sickness and pain. But when that baby was born, you know, you adored, you forget all about the pain and what you went through, but you adore that child as it is laid upon your chest. How many moms that when you gave birth, how many of you got to lay your baby close to your heart after the birth? Yeah, there's a few hands going up. Well, I want to tell you how much my parents adored me after I was born. Now, when I was born, the doctor said to my parents, said, Mr. and Mrs. Cooper, we want you to know this baby son of yours, he's a great treasure to you. And my parents said, yes. They said, we're going to go find a deserted island. We're going to bury this treasure. So, see, I got you on that one. But as they adored Jesus, as they were seeking the Lord, that's what I want this message to be about today, is us. The shepherds and the wise men, they came bringing gifts to adore baby Jesus, and they were over excited, over thrilled with wonderment. I mean, I would have loved to have seen baby Jesus. And also, as Jesus, you know, got into his adult years and started his ministry time, I would have also loved to have been a disciple and walked with Jesus and seen the miracles being performed. But I didn't get the opportunity to be alive back then. So what has God given me? God has given me a time such as this. He has placed me on the earth, the time that He determined that I should be born, that I should live, that I should preach. So I have every opportunity of every day of my life to adore Jesus in every way. As the wise men came to worship Jesus, so you and I should worship Jesus every single day. Why? Because Jesus, after coming up from the grave and being resurrected, and He ascended back to heaven, He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and one day Jesus is coming again, the trumpet will sound, and the eastern sky will part, and the dead in Christ will be raised up first, and all of God's children that remain, we will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them in the air. And the Bible says, so we shall be with the Lord for all of eternity. So that right there is our main reason for worshiping Jesus, because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He paid the price for our sin, and He has given us a way to get to the Father. And if Jesus has given us a way to get to the Father, then I think we should do everything in our power to worship Him and to live for Him and to adore Him for what He did for us. What if it had been you who had been selected to be arrested, betrayed, beaten, and nailed to a cross? How, you know, would you be the kind of person that you would go and give your life like that for the entire world? Would you be... I don't know how many of us could have, but I do know this: in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying, the sweat, the anguish, He started to have drops of blood to form, because He knew what was about to come upon Him. But He did it because He loved you and I, so that should cause us to give our lives for Him daily in return. And what I mean is nailing that flesh to the cross and living for Jesus by the Spirit. We need to worship Him day in and day out of our lives. I think it is so important. Now, you do it how you want to, because God has given you a free will, but I want to give you the encouragement to worship Him daily. I think we should pick out a time every day that we should at least sing a song of praise to the Lord. We should read our Bibles. And I believe we should spend as much time as we possibly can on our faces before the Lord, praying and seeking God's will for our life. Asking God to make us the kind of witnesses that we should be. That was Jesus' whole purpose of coming here, was to be a witness. He told everybody of His Father's love. He told people about the Father's kingdom. And that's what Jesus gave us a strict commandment as His followers to do, to go and make fishers of men. He didn't ask us if we would. It is a commandment that you and I tell others about the Father, that we tell people about His love. And we are an example of Christ's love. When we got saved, we were given a new life. We've been given a testimony, and we should share. I guarantee you, when the wise men and the shepherds had left the manger scene, they were so overfilled with joy. I guarantee you, now the Bible doesn't say it, but I can guarantee you that they were going and telling others what they had just witnessed. So in your life, you should be driven to tell other people what Jesus did in your life, what changes He has made, what joy He has brought to your heart. If you are a child of God, let me say this, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but we should not be a bunch of sour grapes. We should not be sour people. We should be people that have evidence. We should be producing fruit in our lives that shows that Jesus is at work. And that comes from the words we speak. That comes from the actions that come out from us. Now, I had something really unique happen yesterday. Okay, I told you sometimes I can't stand getting in traffic when there's people and you got three lanes and you got three people going, it's supposed to be 55 and they're all going 43. And you're trying to get somewhere because you need to be somewhere on time and you went ahead and left a little early, but then you get behind three lanes of people and I'm going, oh, are you kidding me? Now, I'm going to give this to you. This I told you, I'm not perfect. I'm going to give this to you in truth, and this is raw as it gets. I'm driving our Chevy to go get the oil changed. Now, that's all I was going to go do, but I had to get there. And I'm thinking, oh, golly, come on, people. I thought, why is it always my luck, and I'm mouthing this out, why is it always my luck that I have to get out here, I got something to go do, and I got to get behind three people that can't go over 45 miles an hour, and they're holding me up. Oh, my goodness. And so then I get to the oil change place finally. I took an exit, and I went the back way. Thought if I go the back way, I'll get there a lot faster. So I get to the oil change place, and I pull up. Because this one vehicle went ahead on in, I thought, well, good. If I pull up here, I'm going to get right in. There's a guy waiting over here already, and there was a car in there that they were still, I'll stay right here. I'll get right in, get out. Well, that didn't happen. I sat here. That car that was in there had left. This car that pulled up after me went ahead and went in, and they started working on it, and this car's still over here, and wasn't nobody touching it. And I thought, well, isn't this just great? I'm in a hurry. And I got another appointment after this one. I got to be in Heron at 11:30. And look what's happening. They're holding me up. They're holding me up again here at this place. Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, the devil just wanted me to complain, I guess. Well, then about that time, that car was getting work. Here come his Jeep pulled up. And I see this young lady get out and go in. Well, finally, the car in front of me, they finally pulled it out. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, I get to go in there finally. So I pulled in, told them what I wanted done. And it didn't take them very long to, you know, do all the oil change stuff. And about that time, the guy said, well, you can go ahead and go in there and pay now if you want. We'll get the rest of it done. All right. I walk inside to go pay my bill, and there's that young lady sitting in a chair, and she's got her feet up in the chair and got her arms wrapped around her knees. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this, so hold with me. Holding on to her knees and just sitting there, and she looked like she was really disheveled. Her face looked troubled. And when I walked in there, I said, well, good morning. And she said, hi. And she said, oh, are you going to pay for my oil change too? And I kind of chuckled and said, oh, I sure, yeah, I will. But anyway, the Lord moved upon me to talk to her some more. And I just started talking to her. And she looked at me and she said, would you please pray for my mom? She said, my mom has stage 4 brain cancer and she's dying. And she said, here it is Christmas time. And she said, I have been going through some pretty heavy stuff today. And the first thing I said to her, I normally wouldn't do this, but this just came out of my mouth. I said, do you need a hug? Because you look like you could really use a hug. And she jumped up out of that chair and she came up to me and I just put my arms around her and I just held her and she started bawling in that oil change place. I never would. So see what I'm saying? God orchestrated 3 people to be in my way. God orchestrated for me to be in this line for time to go past so this young lady could come up and that I would get an opportunity to witness and minister to her. And I guarantee you when I left that place, I said, Lord, I am so sorry for letting my emotions and my actions override my spirit and that I was complaining because you were putting me in a place to where I could witness. I said, Lord, please forgive me. So see, that's what I mean about serving the Lord and adoring Him and worshiping Him, because if we will live our lives, and this is for me a lot, if we will live our lives praising and serving the Lord daily, even if we get stuck in situations we don't like, we continue to praise God and thank Him. When God does something, we will see that His hand has been in it. And when I left, I got to witness to that young lady. I asked her, are you a Christian? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? I mean, God just really opened this up yesterday. So even in the midst of my little mess, God still worked. God still moved. But I got to show compassion to somebody yesterday. So as they showed compassion to baby Jesus, that's what life is all about for you and I. We should adore Him and we should take in that love that He brought to us and we should show it to other people because we never know what shoes they're walking in. And what I mean by that, we don't know what stages of life they're going through. We don't know the path that they are treading and we should really be careful what we speak and how we act. Tell you what, when I left that oil change place, I felt like the biggest mule rear end that you ever could feel. But you know what? If I'm going to preach something, I'm going to preach you the truth. I am not perfect in any way, but the Lord forgave me, and He still worked a miracle yesterday, and I thank Him for it. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we have to adore Jesus in a right way. We have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, which means your heart's got to be in the right place. If your heart's not in the right place, and you, well, it's time to go do my singing and praying. Oh boy. You know, I got so much on my calendar today to do. God wants us to come before Him with a joyful heart. God wants us to be happy. I mean, when you think about what Jesus done for us on the cross and given His life, we should be excited to take aside. And I don't know how, you know, how much time you all take aside, but we should take aside, I would say, at least half an hour to 40 minutes. Get up earlier and give that time to the Lord, because when you worship Him in truth and in spirit, God pours His Spirit into you and God gives you His strength. And also, it helps to strengthen our relationship with Him. And if we're going to be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, then we have to let Him know that He is the first love of our life and there's nobody greater than Him. And we should always look to Him for every answer in this life. One thing I want to mention here, Jesus wasn't just a baby. He was a glorious incarnation. See, there's a lot of babies been born throughout time, and babies are precious. I love babies. And I've got an 8-month-old grandson, and he's just growing like a weed. Boy, I adore that baby every time I get to see him. But there was one baby born who was the Son of God, the Word of heaven, left His glory and came to be a baby. There was no other baby like Him. He was the only true one special baby, because that baby gave all of Himself for all of us. And we should adore Him repeatedly. As we live in this world, we should adore Him every day of our lives. And what I mean by that, we should be adore Him by what we do. We are laborers in the field, and we should be willing to do God's work. So whatever calling God has put upon your life, you shouldn't say, well, Father, that's not what I want to do. I want to do what Milton does, because I like what you're doing in him, so would you let me do? Well, God created each and every one of us, and He gave us all a particular job. Now, if God called all of us to be piano players, wouldn't it be something if we all was trying to cram in here on Sunday morning and play the piano with Effie? Now, God called her to be a piano player, and God called her to serve in many other ways, and that's her life. And that's how she worships the Lord. And I love to hear her play in the morning. It soothes my heart and my soul, because what God's doing in her, it ministers to me. And I have to agree with what Laura said last Sunday. When Effie sits at that piano to play, I think that's what our time we should sit down and we should get into worship mode. Because every Sunday we come into His house, and every Sunday we should come expecting to receive from God, but we should also be expecting ourselves to worship Him in purity and with all of our heart and with all of our life. But whatever God's called us to do, that's what we should seek in our lives. We should look for His return daily. Jesus said He was coming. We don't know the day or the hour. I guarantee you that right now, with what's going on in the world, we are definitely in that season. I don't know the day or the hour, but I'm telling you, friends, Jesus is coming. So this is the time. And you're going to hear people say, yeah, well, I've been hearing that for a lot of years. Where is He? Well, like I said, we don't know the day or the hour, but we definitely know the season. We also know by the prophecies that are really coming alive, the prophecies are being fulfilled so fast right now with nation rising up against nation. And even here in America, I mean, in our political system, our school, I mean, there is so much corruption going on, even in churches and in businesses, everything. There is so much corruption going on. It all points to Jesus returning. And we should be excited. We should never be afraid of what's going on in the world. Because like I said earlier, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't tell us to frant and worry and wring our hands relentlessly and worry. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So He is our salvation. He is our deliverer. And if that's what He is to all of us, then it should show in our life. And we should also adore Him reverently. Mark 12:6 says, "Having yet therefore one Son, His well-beloved, He sent Him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence My Son." We should give Him first place. We should give Him all praise, honor, and glory. Christ, I mean, really, when you come to church, you shouldn't be coming here because it's something you've done every week all your life. You should come to church because you want to be here for God. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, what I'm about to say. I'm not here to be a people pleaser. I'm not here to make your day joyful and glad. I'm here to worship God. So before I come in that door, I've made up my mind that I'm here for God, but I am here to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm here to have fellowship with you. We are to grow together. We are to be of one accord, one mind. We are to be one body. But if there's some of us going against the grain and not wanting to serve the Lord, and then there's some that are, it's not going to be a smooth function. And I've had people say, "Well, you don't know what's going on in my life." Well, you don't know what's going on in my life. You never know the struggles that somebody else is going through. But it's those times in our life that we should lay aside all of our cares and our struggles. Look what Jesus did. He left the glory of heaven to become a human being. He left the most glorious, wonderful place to come and give His life for you and I. And yet when He asks us to do something, we grumble and gripe. Right here, I'm guilty. Lord, help me to do Your will. Lord, help me to accept the things I can't change. And give me the wisdom to know the difference. I don't know how that whole saying goes. I don't have it memorized. And lastly, let us adore Him responsively. 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." We should adore one another. I didn't know that young lady yesterday, but I responded to her in love. Now, here's what I could have done. I could have thought, well, I've got that schedule to keep. I did have an appointment in Heron. But I didn't care about that. I didn't say one word. I gave of myself for somebody else in need and showed them love. And that's the kind of love we ought to show everybody else. And again, I've had people say, "Well, you don't know what my life is like. You don't know how I was raised. You don't know the struggles and all the things I've had to..." And it's made me what I am today. I am because... Well, you know what? If Christ is your Lord and Savior, what happened in your past should be gone. It should be gone. The bad attitudes, I told you, my dad was what he was. I had no connection with my dad for many years. But that last 4 months that I had with him was the greatest 4 months I had ever. But you know what? When he asked me for forgiveness that one day, I could have told him how I felt. I could have told him the anger and the hurt and the betrayal, and I could have hit him. I really could have. But that's not how God deals with me when I do wrong. I heard the Lord say, "Now you remember, I love you and forgive you when you do wrong, and I have compassion with you. Show your father compassion." And the only thing I could do is wrap my arms around his neck and say, "I forgive you, Dad. I love you." And then I had the last 4 months of his life, the greatest 4 months I'd ever had with him. My dad was in the hospital. I will say this. This is what God's love can do. And I'm not going to go up here. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what my dad was like. That's not important, because that's been forgiven. It's in the past. But I'll tell you this, my dad was in the hospital and he was starting to fade. And I remember mom calling saying, "Your dad's in the hospital. You need to come up here." Okay. And I went to the hospital and I sat on the edge of his bed. Here I am, a grown man. Only thing I could do was I laid my head on his chest and I put my arms around my dad and I said, "Dad, don't die, because we're just getting a good start." And my dad wrapped his arms around me like this and said, "Son, I love you." That's all he said. And that past didn't matter. So, well, this is what I'm saying. God's love is stronger than anything you've ever been through. But you've got to get rid of it. Because when you get rid of what's in your past, you can love Him. You can love God. And if you say you love God, then it should show to other people. Now, I kid with people, and I joke around, and I never mean. I hope nobody ever takes anything. I try not to get, you know, too out of line with it. But I want people to know I love them. Sometimes with love, there has to be sometimes a little bit of a stern love. But we should always love people with the love of the Lord. Because when we do, and people come into this church house, you know what they're going to feel? When visitors or other people who've never been here come in here, if they see the love of the Lord at work, they're going to see it. But you know what? People see what goes on in God's house. And if there's good things going on, they're going to see it. If there's not good things going on, they're going to see it and they won't come back. That's why there's so many people out there in the world today trying to find a perfect church. Well, there's not a perfect church. But you know what we can do? We can forget about ourselves and we can make God first priority in our life and we can adore Him and then let that love be reflected in our life to somebody else. And it's true. Everybody has a different personality. Everybody has different characteristics. But we all should be of the same mind and we all should be of the same accord that we love the Lord and that we walk in fellowship with Him and that we love others. There ain't nothing hard about that at all. But you have to die to yourself daily. Die to that flesh. I'm sure sometimes my wife would like to cold cock me upside the head. But you know what she does? My wife says, "I love you." My wife says, "I pray for you." Even though she'd like to belt me a good one now and then. Any men ever feel like that? Like your wife wants to just give you good... Melton's got his hand up. As Forrest Gump would say, that's all I'm going to say about that.